realizing that this is the Sundays that we usually observe our communion. And I was doing some thinking earlier in the week, and I'll share what I believe the Lord wants us to deal with today. You know, there's a lot of things that human beings generally take for granted. A lot of things that we sometimes just feel like it's always going to happen like that. It's some things we have become accustomed to and feel that certain things are just normal. Things don't have to stay the way that they are. Life sometimes can be surprising. There are certain things and things happen in life that catch us humanly off guard. But we have to have confidence in our God and know that nothing catches him off guard. Nothing surprises God. And so our confidence is in him and not in ourselves. We have our ultimate confidence is in God. Because sometimes we do have a certain measure of confidence in our humanness or in our brothers and sisters or just in family members. And to a certain degree, that's okay. But when you're looking at things that, when we're looking at things that really matter, eternal things, our confidence must be in God. It must be in God. Because when we were born, as beautiful bundles of joy, precious babies, that began our exit out of here. The clock started ticking when the doctor smacked us and we replied with a cry. That's when the clock of our life or the clock of our existence on this side of eternity began. And it's been steady ticking. Amen. Okay. Walk with me to an Old Testament passage of scripture. Hopefully you'll see where my mind is going once we get through here. So I often say, thank you. Pray for my mind. Amen. And I can tell that a lot of you do. And I'm thankful for that. But here we are in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Ecclesiastes. Huh? Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Okay. I often say it, I'm going to try to teach, but my staff says every time you say that, you preach. So I'm going to just do what God leads me to do. But in my mind, I have teaching in my mind. Bless you. Here in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and beginning at verse number 6, I have the Amplified Classic Version of the Bible. This is what it says. Remember your Creator earnestly now, before the silver cord of life is snapped apart, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the whole circulatory system of the blood ceases to function. Lord, have mercy. The writer, I believe, is trying to get those who read this word to remember God now. before your life, the cord of your life is snapped apart. Before, and he's using these illustrations to show that there's going to be an ending point. There's going to be an ending point. The pitcher is going to be broken at the fountain, or the golden bowl is broken, or the wheel is broken at the cistern, or the whole circulatory system of the blood ceases. You know, back in the day, there were some that would testify when we used to have testimony. They would say, I'm thankful that the blood is still running warm in my veins. Anybody remember that? But here, the writer is saying there's going to be a time when that's going to cease. Verse number 7 says, then shall the dust out of which God made man's body return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Verse 8 says, vapor of vapors and futility of futilities, says the preacher. All is futility, emptiness, falsity, vainglory, and transitoriness. Basically, he's saying, as humans, we ain't staying here. We're going to leave one day. But he admonishes the readers, you need to remember God now. You need to recognize that he is the creator. We need to recognize that here, as written one place in scripture, we don't have an abiding city here. We need to recognize that eternity awaits every individual. And what we do, how we live, our condition on this side of eternity, the decisions and the choices that we make on this side in our humanness will determine our eternity. Very, very important to realize. So it is with this bullet point of a thought that we just read in this passage of scripture that I want to talk this morning about spiritual food. I started early in the week and entitled it Soul Food. But then I looked at it again. I said, no, spiritual food. So I didn't want people thinking that there was going to be some greens and pot liquor, cornbread and whatnot. Because I want you to focus in on spiritual food. Walk with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 15th chapter of Jeremiah. And verse number 16, as we're turning to Jeremiah, remember in the history of the children of Israel, God pronounced and declared to them that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it is important that we are nourished by the word. Spiritual food. Oftentimes we hear expressions and phrases in the natural that maybe shed an inkling of light on the human condition. One such phrase, I'm sure I'm going to see your faces and your response. There you are. As I communicate this phrase and just nod or wave your hand if you've ever heard in a conversation anywhere what I'm about to say in some point in time, but there were some that have declared and pronounced that you are what you eat. Oh, all right. Okay. Okay. And humanly, I think that has some credence to it. If we fill up on junk food, if we overindulge in food that produces high cholesterol, that soul food that we love. Maybe I should have kept that title, I don't know. If we, there are consequences and results for what we intake in our human bodies. If we have a tendency to take the exit lane of desserts on the highway of life, as I am, you can often find me taking that exit lane, I'm being transparent, then there are some things that accompany us turning off of that exit as often as we do. Type 2. And then we have to race to correct the results when we should not have took that exit as oftentimes as we did. And that produces in these bodies that were made by God, in these bodies that the word says, glorify God in your body. We just got finished singing one of the worship songs is My Life. Did we sing that? Okay, My Life is Not My Own. So that means I'm going to have to give an account for what I allow to intake and ingest in this body. So, anybody else need help besides me? But most importantly, in my humble opinion, is the spiritual food that we need. Because we understand, and we've read in Scripture, that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We understand that. But we still have to be good stewards over these bodies. That God does not take that responsibility away from us. And more importantly, I believe that God will hold us responsible for our spiritual appetite. What are we craving spiritually? What is our spiritual diet? Did I ask for Jeremiah? Okay, Jeremiah chapter number 15, verse number 16. The Amplified Classic says, your words were found, and I ate them. And there is a semicolon there, so this. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words were to me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. So Jeremiah is saying, I found your word. So evidently, he was looking for. He was looking for the word of God, right? He said, your words were found and I ate them. oftentimes, when we are hungry in the natural, and the question may be asked in households or in relationships, what do you want? I don't know, but I want something. Does that sound familiar? I got a taste for something, but I just can't. No, I don't want. And then there's offerings and suggestions that are made. Oh, would you like that? Nah, I don't want that. Nah, I don't want this. Well, how about? Well, bring me what you get you. The question has to come, are you sure? Because my appetite and your appetite, my palate and your palate might not be the same. And I don't want you to get upset with me if I asked you and you said, just bring me anything. Bring me what you bring you. And then there is a little tension when the container is open. I didn't want that. I asked you specifically what you wanted. But I think for us as the children of God, as the people of God, there's a scripture that tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So our spiritual appetite should be for the word of God. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words were to me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Question here, is the word of God a joy to us? Oh, wait a minute. I want to see your true expression. How much time do we spend in the word of God? If it's a joy, then you can find us there. All right? Are you still with me? All right. Because we're talking about spiritual food, right? Your words were to me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Walk with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to hit a few passages, a few verses there. Interesting thing about this psalm, mostly all the verses in this psalm deals with the word of God. I think there's only four verses in this entire chapter that does not explicitly talk about the word. So your homework assignment is find those four verses. I got to read this whole thing? Yes. But Psalm 119, verse number 11, here it is in the Amplified Classic. Your word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. See that? How much of God's word is really in our hearts? How much, or is it just a sprinkling? Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Basically, I don't know the right place to go. I don't know how to conduct my life if not for your word. Now, if I don't take heed to your word, then I can walk in a manner that's not pleasing to you. But the psalmist said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I need your word at every step. I need to be so hungry for your word that I will walk in agreement with it. Psalm 119, verse 129 says, your testimonies, and again, it's referring to word. Your testimonies are wonderful, far exceeding anything conceived by man. There's a challenge there sometimes, because sometimes we as humans, we think, you know, that we have the answer to certain situations. We think that we can accomplish certain things by ourselves, but the writer says, your testimonies are wonderful, far exceeding anything conceived by man. Man cannot conceive anything that surpasses the word of God. He says, therefore, my penitent self keeps them. Another word for penitent is repentant. So he's basically saying, when I look at your word and I look at myself in the mirror of your word and know that your word far exceeds human understanding, it surpasses human understanding, I just got to repent. And when I repent, then I will keep your testimonies. Again, testimonies is the word, right? Here in this context, he says, myself keeps them, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. So there's a connection. When we hear the word, we got to receive it. We got to receive it. We can't sit with our spiritual arms folded, if you will allow me to use that expression, because sometimes we can be in settings like this and we can nod and agree and psychologically agree, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right. So we hear it, but then do we receive it? Do we receive it? And further than receive it, do we love God's word? Even when it goes against what we want to do. And obeying them. That's the acid test. To hear God's word, receive God's word, love God's word, and obey God's word. That's where the rubber meets the road. It sounds good, but I ain't doing that. It's the right thing, and then some will have the audacity to say, yeah, that's right for you, but I ain't doing that. Well, and then the unmitigated gall to say, well, I know what the Bible says, but there's a three-letter word that just came out, but spiritual food is what we need. Because the cord's going to be broken. I don't know what time it's going to be broken, but it's going to be broken. Huh? The bowl's going to get broken. And life on this side will end. And your spirit is going to return to the God that gave it. This flesh is going to be dust. Verse 130, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. So this points us to the fact that we not only have to read God's word, right? We have to meditate on God's word. We have to mull it around in our mind and mull it around in our hearts. And we have to seek to unfold God's word. And we have to seek for understanding. And God has placed in his word that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And God said, I will give you the wisdom liberally, and I won't scold you. I won't upbraid you. But he said, but I need you to ask in faith. I need you, when you get into God's word and your personal devotion, and I hope you have some personal devotion and your own personal Bible study, right? And when we're in God's word, then we have to ask God for wisdom if we don't understand, right? And when we ask God for wisdom, right, he'll give it to us. But we got to ask in faith. We have to ask in faith, all right? Don't doubt, and God will give us the wisdom that we need. That was an introduction. So where in the world is he going? Great question. John chapter number 6. But I wanted to set the stage for us to see how valuable, how important, and how essential is the word of God. Huh? I want us to take a look at that. Now, interesting thing about John chapter number 6, Jesus performs a miracle in the beginning of the chapter where he feeds multitudes of people with some bread and fish. And then he actually, at the beginning of that chapter, he asked the question. He asked the question, but he knew what he was going to do before he asked the question. And he performed the miracle. He told his disciples to have the people sit down in groups. And he blessed the food and divided it to them. And I think they took up 12 baskets after everybody had ate from the small portion that they had. And Jesus uses this as a teaching moment because he is reminding them about something that their forefathers did in Old Testament time, how God gave them manna. You know, a lot of times people, humans, can revert back to religious history, if you will. And they, oh, God did this, and, you know, the Lord did this, yeah. But Jesus now is bringing them into the realization that that manna that you got, that your forefathers got, was not the true bread of heaven. Because in one place, well, let's look at verse number 47 of John chapter 6, and we'll get to it. John chapter number 6, verse 47, Amplified Version. This is what it says here. I assure you, Jesus is speaking, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in, relies on, and has faith in me, watch this, has now possesses eternal life. Now we got to break that up. Now remember, we talked about how the scripture said in Ecclesiastes that the cord was going to get snapped. The bowl was going to get broken. That means your human your human life has an ending point. But here Jesus is saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who believes in me, and then I like how it's unpacked it here, who adheres to, and another word for adhering is thank you, obey. He who adheres to, trusts in, and relies, and has faith in me, has now possesses eternal life. So what do you mean? Remember, when Jesus started his ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We got to believe his preaching. Remember, when Jesus was confronted, well, not confronted, but when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, we know that you are sent from God. We know that. Because can't nobody do these things that you're doing except God be with him. Jesus did not get the big head. He said, you must be born again. So he explained to Nicodemus that you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. So this is the adhering. You have to adhere to the declaration of Jesus. Adhere to Jesus' message. All right? Now, if you do that, if you obey that, and if you put your trust in Jesus, if you rely on what he has accomplished and have faith in Jesus, you possess eternal life. Because if you obey, then you got the results up front when you receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Then you receive God's Spirit. All right? Verse 48 says, watch this, Jesus still speaking, I am the bread of life that gives life, the living bread. So Jesus said, I'm the bread. Verse 49, your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness, and yet they died. So he's pointing back to their religious history. Now, just let me say that there are some that may be watching on the campus or some that may be here in the building. We're not discounting your religious history. No, that's not what we're doing. But just like the forefathers ate manna in the wilderness and yet they died, except you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, you're going to die in your sins, no matter your religious history. But God doesn't want you to remain just relying on religious history. He wants you to have some current history. Verse 50, but this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat of it and never die. You mean if we eat this bread that came down from heaven, he said, so that anyone may eat of it and never die. Verse 51, I myself am this living bread that came down from heaven. He's saying, you got to eat me. Ooh. Spiritual food. I myself am this living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And also, watch now, the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh, my body. So you see at the end, we're pointing to communion. But we have to discern, right? Put faith in and obey and trust and rely on the one who's speaking, and that's Jesus. And here's a human response in verse 52. Then the Jews angrily contended with one another, saying, how is he able to give us his flesh to eat? We are not cannibals. Basically, what in the world is going on? They're thinking naturally. But we're talking this morning about spiritual food. Verse 53, Jesus said to them, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, you cannot have any life in you unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood. Now, wait a minute. They're pointing back to their religious history when God told them and told their forefathers that you can't eat anything with blood. So now what are you saying? They were angry. And Jesus said to them, 53 again, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, you cannot have any life in you unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Here it is, unless you appropriate his life and the saving merit of his blood. So now you got to understand that he is in fact the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world. He is, in fact, the lamb that all those Old Testament sacrifices pointed to. He is, in fact, the one that was foreshadowed that when God told the children of Israel to take that blood of that lamb that you killed and put it on the upper doorpost and put it on the side lintels. And I'm going to come through here, and I'm going to send death through. But when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Now, if I don't see no blood, something's going to die. So he said, you have to appropriate his life. You have to discern his life. You have to discern his mission. You have to discern the purpose that he came to save mankind and the saving merit of his blood, because the life of the creature is in the blood. So when we rightfully discern and appreciate the bread that represents his broken body, and the blood and the wine that represents his blood, we are discerning and we are appropriating and we are remembering his sacrifice. We are remembering his commands. We are ingesting spiritual food. And we have life. We have eternal life now. We have to settle that in our hearts and in our minds. We have it now. But we are not a part of the we unless we do what he told us to do. You must be born again. Watch this. Verse 54. He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood possesses now eternal life. So it's not a one-time thing. Because remember, in one scripture, he says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. How great a physical shape would we be in if we only ate once a day? Some of us could shed some unwanted pounds. But rarely, if at any time, do the majority of us eat but one time a day. He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood possesses now, watch this, eternal life. And I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. Though the cord be snapped and the bowl will definitely break, but he said, I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. He who feeds on my flesh feeds with an understanding, drinks with an understanding, drinks with discernment, feeds with discernment. Watch verse 55. For my flesh is true and genuine food, and my blood is true and genuine drink. Hallelujah. It's true. This is what Jesus said. He, 56, he who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood, watch now, dwells continually in me, and I in like manner dwell continually in him. So that means if we have obeyed and adhered to what he has declared for us to do, right? If we believed the gospel message, if we obeyed the gospel message, if we put our trust and reliance on the gospel message and have faith in Jesus Christ, then we were born again of the water and of the Spirit, right? And we can, hymn number 19 in the hymn book, what does that say? Come and dine? Is that, check that out for me right quick. Y'all taught me that song. Look at, somebody look. Is that number 19? Is that Come and Dine? Huh? It's not? Yeah, number 20. I was close. I was close. Thank you. Come and Dine. Huh? So the master is calling us, huh, to come and dine. He's calling us to the table for spiritual food. So as often as we do it, we do it in remembrance of him. We do it in appreciation of him, right? 57 says, just as the living Father sent me, and I live by, through, because of the Father, even so, whoever, watch this, continues to feed on me, whoever takes me for his food and is nourished by me, shall in his turn live through and because of me. So this is why we need the spiritual food. All right? We need to ingest the word of God, meditate on the word of God, obey the word of God, and we need communion. 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna which your fathers ate and yet died. I'm sorry, it is not like the manna which our forefathers ate. So Jesus connects himself. He said, this is, you know, I'm a part of your history. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. So I can agree that our forefathers ate, but they died. He who takes this bread for his food shall live forever. Do you believe that? No, for real. Do you really believe that? All right. Good. So I think we're ready to move to the table now and ingest the spiritual food. Now, as we stated in the beginning, if you are here in the sanctuary with us and you did not get the elements for communion, we have some at the table back there. Has everyone that needs to be served been served? All right, thank you. Is just a few? All right, if you make your way to the table there, and those on the online campus, if you would bear with us for a moment, they're going to receive the elements, and we will feed and drink together. Amen? We'll feed and drink together. But spiritual food is what we need. That's really what we need. That's really what we need. We need the spiritual food. We need the food that will sustain us and keep us positioned to receive or to appreciate the fact that we now possess eternal life. We have it now. So we really shouldn't fear the cord being snapped. Because perfect love casts out fear, right? Right? Or we shouldn't fear the golden bowl being broken. Or the pitcher broken at the fountain. I often have said, for the child of God, for the truly saved individual, death is an usher. It just ushers us into the presence of God. But again, it's what we do on this side before the cord of life is snapped. It's what we do on this side before the golden bowl of life is broken. It's what we do on this side before the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, or before the whole circulatory system of blood ceases. It's what we do before our blood stops circulating. That is what determines the location and position of eternity for the individual. We need the spiritual food. That's what we need. We need God's word more than our necessary food and drink. We need a steady diet of the word of God. We really do. I know I do. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. So has everyone that desires to be served been served? All right. I'm going to pray and ask God's blessings upon the bread and the wine that represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his blood. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the true bread of heaven that came down from heaven. We thank you for the message that he brought down from heaven. We thank you that we heard, we believed, we adhered to and obeyed, hallelujah, your message. And you blessed us to receive already eternal life. Hallelujah. Thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And thank you for those that will receive the Holy Ghost. We're thanking you in advance for them. Hallelujah. We're thanking you for them putting their complete faith in you. Lord God, we pray that you would bless this bread that represents your body that was broken for us. Bless it to our use, Lord God, that we might use the nutrients of this spiritual food to do your work, knowing that you're with us. We pray and thank you for the blood, for your blood that was shed for the remission of our sins, the blood that cleanses us. We thank you for life. We thank you for an infusion of you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus that we would use it. Let it reach every area in this body made of dust and penetrate even to the soul and spirit, that we might be the people that you're calling for in these last days. Help us to prepare our hearts and be ever ready for your soon return. Now bless these elements as we receive them with faith and discernment. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Those who are able to stand, if you wouldn't mind standing with us, reading from Luke, the 22nd chapter, and verse number 19 says, then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us discern the Lord's body together. Spiritual food. Thank you, Jesus. Verse number 20. And in like manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament or covenant ratified in my blood.